Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles opened up to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 1. If you guys need any help finding that, it means it's just probably your first week here, and we're glad that you're here. And it is nice for those that are visiting here today with us. We're thankful that you are here. Genesis chapter number 1. Even going to start off in verse number 1. I think probably most of us could quote that. I want you to think this morning a little bit, and the title of this morning's message is The Gift of Life, The Gift of Life. And lots of times people think about Christmas time and all the things that are happening around, and sometimes the people's favorite part of Christmas is getting gifts. And I know that's not really everybody's favorite part, because we like to make sure that we put Christ first. And the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. And I definitely would rather see someone else receive something that they need and something they enjoy than even getting it myself. But more than likely, if you're honest, you don't mind getting things around Christmas time. You appreciate the adoration or the love that's shown through the gifts that are happening. And probably throughout this month, we're going to look at different things that Christmas gives us as a gift, or what the Lord gives us as a gift that's a possibility here. And this morning's message is going to be a little bit about the gift of life. And as we've been talking a little bit, when it comes to how to live during these times, or having a biblical worldview during these difficult times, during these crazy times, because the world seems like it's going crazy and trying to do everything that's anti-God and anti-the Bible. And as we're looking at today, when we're talking about the gift of life, we'll also look at the thought about what abortion is for a few minutes, what a biblical worldview is, because there are a lot of people who struggle with this thought. But the Bible's clear about when a person when a person becomes a person. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning too. The gift of life. So where does it all start? Where does it all come from? It's found in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you believe that, then you know what? You're going to believe what the rest of the book says. But there is a problem that some people don't believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. There are people out there that believe things such as called evolution. I believe evolution is without valid evidence. You see how the world is just created, and the amazing world we live in. And you think about our body and how intricate it is, and all the special designs. It had to have a special creator, a divine designer. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 19, verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmness showeth his handiwork. It's amazing if you consider the world and the heavens, and just to think that just came out of existence from a big bang is something that I believe there is no evidence. The universe shows careful, deliberate, intelligent design. There is no evidence that shows animal crossing species or producing fertile offspring. Evolution is not observable. And that's one time people say, well, I believe in science. You've never observed evolution. And what science is something that you can observe. History, science, archaeology all support the biblical account of creation, 100%. And that is evolution is a religion. In my mind, is a religion of blind faith. But the biblical account of creation is 100%, and it's intelligent faith. The fossil record supports creation, not even evolution. And that's a whole other message, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, because we're going to focus here on what the Bible says and how the gift of life and the importance of the gift of life and what you're going to do with the gift of life. But to establish a principle here, God created the heaven and earth. God is sovereign over life and death. God is the one that's in charge, and God's the one that's in control. You think about the gift of life, you say, well, it just happens sometimes. Well, you think about what the Bible says. You think about the story of Sarah. You think about the story of Hannah. You think about the story of Elizabeth in the New Testament times. All those women were barren, unable to have children, and it says God opened their wombs. God gave them that ability. God gave them that opportunity. God not only is the giver of life, he also is the one that is able to, who's over control of death. You think about Hezekiah. He prayed, and what? God spared his life for 15 years. So I want to, for just even at the beginning here, look at how precious life is, and then even look from the scriptures why I believe that abortion is wrong, it's a sin, and it's a murder, And once again, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad that's listening or here that maybe had an abortion before, because it's something that God is able to forgive and God can work through and God is able to help you with. But at the same time, I think we need to have a biblical understanding. You say, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. No one, well, it's, you know, it's something that you have an opportunity. You never know who's struggling with it. But also, you also have the ability to explain to other people why we believe abortion is wrong. First thing that's going to start off is that all men were created in God's image. Look what it says in verses 26 and 27 in Genesis 1. 26 and 27. Some people say human life does not have that much value, and it's just like an animal. I think that's definitely wrong. The sad part in the culture that we live in, I see certain animals that are maybe facing extinction that actually has more value, and they want to protect them more than they want to protect the unborn children. There's something wrong with that. An animal is not made in the image of God. Look what it says after the animals have been created. It says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Human life is something that is sacred. Human life is something that has great value. It's been made in the image and likeness of God. And these are unquestionably the chief distinctions between a human and an animal. Look what it says in Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So you see the differences that are there. You say, okay, Pastor, what does that have to do with abortion? Does the baby become human when it's born or at conception? I'm glad you asked. And once again, we could spend a lot of time looking at this, and I know many of you know some of this already, but are we going to have a biblical worldview today? And the world is pushing us one way. In the world, there's people that are pushing that says it's okay to kill a baby even as it's coming out of the womb. They don't think they think it's the mother's choice, but that's not found in the scriptures. If we're going to be biblical about this, we're going to believe that life is precious. And then we're going to look and see what the scripture says. And does the Bible talk about those that are unborn? Does the Bible talk about those that are in the womb? And it does. So are we going to have a biblical worldview? Now, what happens in our society is as the world goes farther and farther away from the Bible and from God, they want us to soften our stance and become more and more tolerant of them. But you know what? The Bible has always been true. It's always been right. And no matter how far the world goes over there, we should stay right where we're at. No matter what the rest of the world is saying, we should stay right where we're at, because we're not staying on our principles. We're standing on the Bible's principles. And the Bible does not change. It was wrong 100 years ago. It was wrong 200 years ago. It's still wrong today. But people has let society and let the world change their thinking into believing, okay, if we can get them just not to kill the babies coming out of the womb, then, you know, what's the big deal about it at conception or a few weeks later or a few months? And if it's wrong, it's wrong. And that's why we need to be able to understand and explain that to somebody else. And maybe you're sitting here and thinking, Pastor, I don't know if abortion's wrong or not. Well, let's see what the scripture says. The first thing we see is that we are created in God's image. We're different than an animal. So I think most people would agree with that. Some people act like animals, and some people believe that we came from animals. But I think that's a whole other message, and it's completely different than what the scripture says. If you believe in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, let's see what else the scripture says when it comes to someone that's in the womb. Take your Bible down to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter number 21. I know some of you may be familiar with these passages of scriptures, but they are good reminders. And at the same time, it shows us how precious life is and how precious that life, when it begins at conception, God knows and God has a plan for that life. And here in Exodus chapter 21, and some people even point to this and say, well, this proves that the unborn child isn't that important. But I believe it proves something completely different. Exodus chapter 21, look what it says in chapter verses 22 through 25. What's being given is some laws and ordinances dealing with how society is supposed to work, and God is teaching them these things. And if you go to Exodus chapter number 20, it says, "Thou shalt not kill." That's pretty obvious. But here it's talking about something that is in the womb. It says in verse 22, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child," so that's obviously a lady that's pregnant, "so that her fruit depart from her," that's referring to the baby, it ends up that the strike causes the lady to go into labor, and the baby is then conceived, and still, it says, "and yet no mischief follow." So what does that mean? That means that the baby is born, and the baby is born healthy. It says, "he shall be surely punished." What is he being punished for? For striking the lady. "According as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he will pay as the judges determine." Verse 23 says, "and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life." So what I think the Bible, and I believe the Bible is saying there, what is the mischief that could follow? If the strike happened to the woman and it caused mischief to follow, causing the baby to die or to be stillborn, so that way the baby is no longer healthy or safe, then it says you're going to give life for life. So I believe what the scriptures are saying there is that the baby in the womb should be protective. The baby in the womb is something that should be guarded. And if you kill someone, even the baby in the womb, they should be punished based off of their killing a human, because that's what they're doing. Verse 24, "eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning from burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." So I believe what the scripture is saying there is the fruit is departed, which means the baby ends up dying because of the strike. He should be punished just like he killed a human. You know why? Because he did kill a human. Let's keep on going. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139. So Psalms 139 is a pretty familiar passage of Scripture, but also it's a beautiful passage of Scripture that explains to us about God's personal involvement in David's development while in the mother's womb. It speaks about how God knows the individual even before they're born. So if God has created everything, I believe everything has the eternal purpose, it has a plan. Your belief about creation will turn around and say, okay, how am I going to look at this as a biblical worldview? Psalms chapter 139, Psalms 139, look what it says in verse 13. He says, "For thou possessed any reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee." It's referring to God knew. He says, "when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect and in thy book, all my members are written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." I think David's talking about here being in the development within the mother's womb. From the time that we are conceived, we are never ever able to get out of the conscious presence of God in our life. From the moment of conception, life is sanctified and is recognized by God. This is a valuable tool and one of the things we need to understand and learn how to steward, that life is a gift from God. And if we did not have that gift, what would Christmas matter anyway? What's the point of getting a gift if you don't exist? It doesn't benefit you at all. So life, I believe, is precious. Life is a gift from God. If God created the heaven and the earth, if God says that the baby inside the womb is important and special, then we should also believe that too. So let's look now about what God says about specific people in the womb. Take your Bible to Jeremiah chapter number 1. This is probably my favorite verse when it comes to this passage of Scripture, this thought. In Jeremiah chapter number 1, God says something that I think answers the question. Jeremiah chapter number 1, that not only is life important and life begins at conception, but also God has a plan and a purpose for your life before you're ever even born. You say, Pastor, that kind of blows your mind. It does. I was speaking a little bit about it in our Sunday school class with the young adults that have kids at home. And we were telling them, hey, look, God's got a plan for your child. And when the child is born, God, it's a gift. Kids don't always seem like a gift, but it is a gift from God. And we should be raising that God's way. It's on loan from God. Because if everything we have belongs to the Lord and we are steward of it, I'm not raising kids my way. I'm raising kids the way the one that gave them to me. I used the example in Sunday school about Scott. Scott loves his dog, Elsa. I don't know if you ever met Scott's dog, Elsa. If not, he'll show you a picture. He probably has 100 of them on his cell phone. That's how much he loves this dog. I don't know if he loves his dog or his kid more. I'm sure it's his kid, but he does love it. He does love his dog, don't you? There you go. So I said, if Scott had given me Elsa to take care of for a week because he was going out of town, Scott would leave specific instructions. I can imagine how many pages those instructions are. He says the dog is supposed to sleep in the bed on a pillow. Now, dogs are supposed to stay in the crate or stay outside, in my mind, but whatever. So Scott would never let me take care of Elsa because I would take care of Elsa the way I think a dog should be taken care of. Scott takes care of Elsa like she's a queen, and that's great. It works for Scott. It works for Elsa. It just doesn't work for me. That's why I wouldn't be good at taking care of Elsa. Now, I would never sign up to take care of Elsa unless it was an emergency. Obviously, we'd do anything for Brother Scott. But at the same time, God gives us things. He gives us children. And when he gives us children, they're on loan to us. We're supposed to give those kids back to God and say, God, thank you for this child. It's a gift. I'm giving them back to you, and I'm going to raise that child according to your plan for their life. Now, many of us have dreams for our kids. Some people dream that their kids are going to be lawyers or doctors. Some might even dream that they're going to be preachers or missionaries. And some people have, you know, the NBA or the NFL in their minds and things like that, or race car driving. But what does God dream for your child? We tell our kids, you should be living according to the Lord's plan for your life. And as we're raising our children, it should not be for ourselves. We're raising them for the Lord. And we should, how do we get there? We lay a foundation of scriptural truth. We lay a foundation of the acceptance of love that God has for us is the same we have. But we want to teach them, hey, whatever God's plan is for your life, that's what will be happy. If it's here in Elizabeth City, great. We like to see our kids and grandkids. But if it's off in some foreign country, serving the military or serving a missionary, that's okay. That's God's plan for them. We're okay with that. And that we're raising them to do what God's want. And many times it is to stay here local. Many times, and praise the Lord, but we're teaching our kids that, hey, you don't belong to us. You belong to the Lord. Everything I have doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. I've given my life. I've given my heart over to him. And he says, do all to the glory of God. If my life is supposed to bring glory to God, if God gives me a child, it's not for me to raise the way I think they should or on my own intuition or because my parents did it. No, I need to jump in the Bible and see what the Word of God says. And as I see the Word of God says, life is precious and God's got a plan for that young person's life. Now I need to give my heart over to that and let them do what God wants them to do. But many of us miss all that. We raise them according to the way that we think is right and okay. We're not responsible like we would want. Like I said, I wouldn't be taking good care of the dog because it's not the way the owner wants it. And when it comes to our kids, many times we're failing because we're not taking care of the one who's the way that God would want us to raise them. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. The Lord says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, I don't know about you, what that kind of puts in your mind there. You mean God knew Jeremiah before he was ever formed in the belly? Yes. God knows everything. Nothing takes God by surprise. He knew that Jeremiah was going to be born. He knew when Jeremiah was going to be born. He knew exactly about that. And then it continues on. Not only does he say he knew him before he was ever formed, and then he says, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So what the scripture is saying here, not only did he know the baby inside the womb, he knew him before he ever was even created. He actually had a plan for his life before he was ever born. And if we believe in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and life is precious, and our life is not our own, we've been bought with a price, right? Therefore, glorify God in your body and your soul. If we believe all those things, then guess what? If God's got a plan for Jeremiah, guess what? God's got a plan for us. God has a purpose for our lives. And it's not for ourselves to figure out. It's to look into the Word of God and let Him lead us and guide us what He wants us to do. You think about what happened in the story. We're near Christmas time, and it talks about John the Baptist. John the Baptist's parents were told this. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And listen to this. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. If he's not a human, what is he filling? It didn't say Elizabeth was going to be filled. He says that John the Baptist, as a baby inside the womb, was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Think about what it says in Luke 1:41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, that the babe, you know, you say, well, Pastor, of course. No. The Bible's calling it a baby inside the womb. That's not what the world tells you. It's just a fetus. It's not a human. It's not a baby until it's born. And that's not true. And once again, there's a lot of things and a lot of ways we could go over this, but I want to establish a principle here. And if you have any questions, I can send you places, or I can show you things from the Bible that even increasingly that there is millions of babies that are murdered every year. And there's something wrong with that. It's because they've gotten away from the biblical worldview. And if you go and you go, it's found throughout the scriptures. It's called a babe in the womb. It's called, and you know, just as David talked about how the Lord saw him and knew him. 2 Timothy 1:9 says it this way, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling. Isn't that wonderful? He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, saying the Lord saved us, and now he's called us with a holy calling, meaning that he has a holy calling on our lives. I mean, that's mind-blowing. Hey, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. The verse doesn't stop there. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So what that means is that before the world ever began, God knew you. God had a purpose for your life. Now, who are we to turn around and say, God, this is what I want to do. I don't want to do what you want me to do. Who am I to say, Lord, what is it that I want to do with my life, instead of saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with my life? So we're thinking about Christmas. Christmas time's coming. Thank you for all those people that decorate it. It looks really nice in here. It looks nice all throughout the lobby, all those other things. And it puts our heart and mind to Christmas. Okay. So what's the greatest gift? It's the greatest gift of salvation. But we've got to forget, don't forget about the precious gift that life is. God's given you a life. What are you doing with it? Are you being a good steward? Are you taking care of your health? Are you taking care of your finances and your resources? More importantly, are you taking advantage of the spiritual opportunities that God has given you? God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He's created everything. God has the eternal purpose and plan for everything he created. Your belief in creation will determine your value system. You are not an accident. No matter what your parents may say, you're not an accident. You have an eternal purpose, and God has a purpose that is for your life that is bigger than me and you. He has a plan for you that's greater than our desires. God designed us for a purpose in this created world for such a time as this, and he's placed us here and now. So what are we doing with the gift of life? How are we stewarding that gift of life? He's sovereign. Remember, he's the one that can be the giver and taker of life. What is our purpose in this world? What is it that God has given us to do? Well, one of the great commands is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. One of the things that is reminded of us over and over in the New Testament, do all for the honor and glory of God, that my life isn't here to bring glory to myself. My life is here to give glory and honor to God. So what is it, Lord, that you want me to do? Because only you know what's going to bring you glory, and only you know what's going to bring honor. For the life of Jeremiah, God had a purpose, a dream for Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's life wasn't the easiest. It said he preached for years upon years, and he was known as the weeping prophet without seeing any converts, or at least none that's mentioned in the Bible. He was taken, he was captured, he was thrown into the pit, he was thrown into prison. Nobody else would have said, that's the life I want for my son Jeremiah. But Jeremiah's parents, Jeremiah had to understand something. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for God's glory. I'm here for God's honor. And if I'm here for God's glory and God's honor, even though I might choose to go do something else, this is what God wants me to do. And life is precious. Life is a gift from God. No one's promised tomorrow. And because God created the heaven and the earth, God is the one. I'm not going to kill the unborn because they're important in the womb, but I'm also going to take this knowledge and say, okay, God's created me. He's got a purpose and a plan for me. Now I'm going to live a life for him because it's not about me. It's about what he wants me to do. So it's a gift. It's a life. It is a gift that's come from God. Now let's think about the greatest gift. See, I think our destiny or God's plan for our life is unique. I think our God's plan for your life would be awesome. And the idea that it's what God wants you to do. What better thing can you do than what the Lord, the creator of the universe, wants you to do? I mean, think about it. If God wants you to do something, sometimes people follow in their parents' footsteps. Oh, my dad wanted me to do this, or my mom wanted me to do this. God designed you for a specific purpose and a specific time with a unique ability and skill set to give you a destiny that he desires. And it's what really, truly represents success. Success isn't about how much money I have in the bank, how big a house I have. Success is, have I done God's will with my life? It's greater than anything we can have in this world, is have I done what God wanted me to do? And that's each and every day, understanding the Lord's will for our life and following after him. Last but not least, I want you to think about the greatest gift. And what is the greatest gift? It's eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, how precious is that gift of life, that breath? He breathed and man became a living soul. We're not like some animal. We are here today. We're created in the image of God, and we have the opportunity to know him and believe in him and trust in him. And he, as the story goes along, Adam and Eve sin in the garden, and that sin is passed down to all mankind. Jesus Christ came, and he was born in a manger. He died on the cross for our sins, and we must put our faith and trust in him. The wages of our sin. Sin is anything that we've done wrong. The Bible says for all of sin. That means each and every person here has done something wrong in their life. I've met people who said that they've never done anything wrong. And I'm like, wow. I'm doing my best not to do something wrong every day or every hour, it seems like, when it comes to our thought lives, our lives. But you know, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever had a wrong thought? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever, you know, there's a long list of things. In God's law, and God's commandment, no one can do all those things. We're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. That's the whole reason why Jesus came. He didn't come so we can give one another gifts. And once again, I don't think there's anything wrong with showing appreciation and love by giving gifts to somebody, but that's not the purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Christmas is he came to die because we were sinners. Amen. He is the greatest gift that we've ever been given, the salvation that is open and available for others. Sinners, though, they can't be in the presence of God. We've all fallen short of that glory of God, and because we've fallen short of that glory of God, you know what happens? It makes us need a Savior. The Bible says that God commendeth, he proved, he showed, he demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were lost and on our way to a horrible place called hell, because that's where we all will end up unless we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are all headed that way. Jesus died for us. He gave us an opportunity to be able to know God and become part of the family of God. the greatest gift. Have you ever received that gift? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Say, Pastor, you don't know me. I've done so much wrong. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter how much you've done right or how much you've done wrong. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, you need a Savior. But it's not about your works or your lack of works. It's about the fact that Jesus died for you. He paid your sin debt. And you can know it's the greatest gift that you can ever have is eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What better gift there is out there? Something that you get in this world might last for 10 years, 20 years. You say, oh, no, that's going to last for a lifetime. Yes, a lifetime is what? 80, 90, 100 years. Eternal life lasts forever. This morning, life is very precious. I believe abortion is wrong, and I think there's even more things in the scriptures that can show you and teach you that. And we need to have a biblical worldview. We don't need to keep on watering it down and listening to the media and listening to what the world says. We need to listen to what the Bible says. It's wrong. It's always been wrong. It won't be right. But life is precious. Don't waste it. Don't squander it. God's given you life. He's given you purpose. What are you doing with it today? Have you ever received that gift of eternal life? Think what the Bible talks about. He's not willing that any should perish. God's desire is that you would come to know him. Do you know him today? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Because you can know that before you leave. If you desire to know more about that, we're going to have an invitation in just a second. And in that invitation time, people come forward if God's spoken to their heart. Brother Joe will be down here, and if you would like to know more about how to receive eternal life, encourage you to come forward. Someone will take you in the back, find a room that nobody else is there, and show you from the Bible and take as long as necessary to show you from the Bible how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. It's the greatest gift. And I think we think about some great gifts that we've had in our life. We think about maybe things that people have given just at the right time, at the right moment. Sometimes they may be really, really valuable in the world's eyes, and sometimes they might be meaningless. But it captured our hearts because it's just what we needed. Salvation is something that we all need. The wonderful thing about eternal life is something that every person is in need of. Today, remember the gift of life. Don't forget that God created the heavens and the earth. Don't forget that heavens declare the glory of God, and he's the one that's in charge, and we should be willing and interested in living our lives. So as we come to invitation time, some things I want you to think about. Number one, who are you living your life for today? Once again, we would all agree, okay, yes, God created the heaven and earth. Yes, life is precious. I'm assuming most of us, not all of us agree, abortion's wrong because life began there and life is something God knows and God's got a plan for kids. We believe all that. Are you following God's plan today? Yes, it'd be easiest for us to look at it and say, hey, yes, you should tell your kids to do whatever God wants them to do. No. Make it personal in your life. Am I living for the Lord today? Number two, not only am I living for the Lord today, if I am a parent, have I given my child over to God? If I'm a grandparent, have I given my grandchild over to the Lord? Now, grandchildren, I know is a little bit harder because you're not the one raising them. But at the same time, we can encourage them and say, you know what? I'm not raising them according to my plan or my purpose. They're God's. I'm raising them for him. So because I'm raising them for him, I'm living according to his word and believing according to his word. And if that's not the case, then we're missing the reason why God has given us children. It's not for our intuition or because we're super smart. It's because of the fact that God wants us to raise them. Now, not just children. I think about people in the room who don't have kids at home anymore, all those other things. You know what? God's got a plan and purpose for your life and whatever ministry you have, whatever it is. It's not minimized. It's God's plan. God is all-knowing. God is perfect. So whatever he has designed you for, praise the Lord. Embrace that and be whatever the Lord wants you to be. And last but not least, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever received him? I want to encourage you today to know for sure before you leave this place that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I at least know how to get there, because that's the whole meaning of Christmas. He came so that way we would not have to go to hell. He came so we can know and believe and trust in him. Let's pray.